Hi, it's Thomas Partey. Welcome to this edition of Arsenal Audio Match Day Program.
Arsenal versus Newcastle United, Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Kickoff, 8 p.m. The contents: captain's notes, around Arsenal, player feature, Alexander Zinchenko, foundation voice, sustainability, community voice, academy young gun, Josh Robinson, around the academy, women, visitors, Newcastle United, match action, Arsenal versus Liverpool, match action, West Ham United versus Arsenal, match action, Burnley versus Arsenal, and teams.
Martin Odegaard, captain's notes. Everyone is so hyped to come back to the Emirates tonight, and I know the supporters will be on fire for another big game under the lights. I think it will be a special one. You can see the impact our supporters are having on the games now, every time we play. You see it on the pitch, and every time we play now, the players feel the connection with our supporters, and it's so important to us. You all help to bring the noise, the energy and the fire in the game, so we need you again tonight, because this is something we want to do together. Of course, the defeat at St James's Park earlier this season can be used as extra motivation, but most importantly for us, we want to keep playing our football, keep creating chances, keep scoring goals. And at the same time, carry on how well we've been defending in our recent league games. It's a good moment to do that again at home tonight. Personally, I love these night games. The atmosphere always feels more intense and special. Let's see if we can create a feeling and noise inside the stadium, like we did in the last game here against Liverpool. That was an amazing game. Just a beautiful day because of the result and the atmosphere. I think it's maybe the best atmosphere I've witnessed in my life. When you play in games like that at home, in front of your own supporters, and get an important win too, it's such an amazing feeling. We all enjoyed it so much. It was a beautiful day. Afterwards, you saw me taking pictures with our club photographer, Stuart, and that was just something I thought about in the moment. Like so many of our colleagues, he's always there with us. He's been here such a long time. He's a big supporter who's been through the ups and downs, but he's always there for us, capturing those special moments when we celebrate. So I thought, why not take one of him this time? Hopefully it was a good moment for him too. I'm not too sure how the pictures came out though. Maybe I should stick to the football rather than the photography. It was a good day for us though, and as I said, an important win. So it was great that we were able to follow it up with those big away wins over West Ham and then Burnley. Both are difficult places to go, so to dominate the way we did and to play our football in both those matches is really positive. It was brilliant. Not just the goals we scored, but creating lots of chances, keeping a clean sheet in both as well, is what we want to do. The last few games in the league have been brilliant. We have to keep going like that now. We spoke about it over Christmas and New Year, that we felt we were playing well, but without getting the goals. But we always knew we had it in the team, with the quality we have. We see it and feel it every day in training, but then you need to take it to the games, and that's what we've managed to do. We're hungry and determined to show that quality every time we go out on the pitch. I heard the West Ham game was our biggest ever away win in the Premier League, and it's always nice to hear things like that. To be honest though, we don't focus too much on that, but it tells you that we're doing something right. It's a good sign for sure. For me personally, I was pleased to get a goal against Burnley, because it's been a while for me since I'd scored. I really wanted to score again, so to do it early in the game felt good, and it was a good strike. I'm happy with that one. While I'm talking about the Burnley game, I also want to send my best wishes to Aaron Ramsey, who picked up an injury during the game. I felt so bad for him, because it was a strange injury. Really unlucky. I spoke to him afterwards and texted him to send him my best and wish him a speedy recovery. Injuries are a part of football, of course, and it's the worst thing for a footballer. So we wish Aaron all the best. I mentioned about our support at home for the Liverpool game, but also every single time we go away, you're so loud that sometimes it's like playing a home game. It's been brilliant to hear all the chants lately, and we have that real feeling now in the team that we want to give something back. We want to make you happy, see you enjoying the games, and we want to keep on doing that. We had a disappointment on Wednesday night in Porto. Playing away in Europe is always tricky. You have to be really sharp tactically and read the game well. I think we did well defensively. We defended well under pressure, and the high press was really good. But with the ball, we were lacking a little bit of purpose and speed in possession to get into the box and create chances. It was a mixed game, I think. Defensively, we were really good, but offensively, we weren't at our best, so there's something for us to work on there. It's about getting a result in those games, and we were close to doing that, which is why that late goal was so annoying. But now we'll bring them here to the Emirates, and we know exactly what we need to do here. We have the confidence and belief that we can turn it around. We have that feeling every time we play here, because of the connection and love we feel from you all. It would be great to hear that noise again tonight. Come on, you Gunners!
Around Arsenal, Bukayo's homing in. Bukayo Saka stands on the verge of another landmark. If he can register an assist today, it will be his 50th of his burgeoning Arsenal career. The 22-year-old has already hit two personal milestones in the past month, both of which came in our 6-0 win at West Ham United. His first half penalty was his 50th goal in red and white, and when he netted again after the break, he completed 100 goal involvements, including those 49 assists. He became the youngest player to complete a half century of goals for us since Frank Stapleton in 1978, and the achievement is even more impressive given that he spent the early part of his Arsenal career playing at left back. The Hale End graduate made his debut back in November 2018, and his first goal came in Germany against Eintracht Frankfurt in the Europa League in September 2019. Bukayo has constantly improved his goal returns over the years since, and, having hit double figures for the third season in a row, he is on track to surpass his best ever tally of 15 in a campaign, which came last term. Bukayo's stats: 100 combined goals and assists, 51 goals. Arsenal women make history again. Yes, we've done it again. Arsenal women's home game against Manchester United last Saturday was a sellout and set a new WSL record attendance of 60,110. That broke the previous record, which we set last December, when 59,042 supporters watched us beat Chelsea 4-1. In fact, we now account for all of the top five attendances in the league's history. So we want to say a huge thank you to our supporters, and well done to everyone involved for helping to grow the women's game. We were pioneers of women's football all the way back in the late 1980s, and we're still leading the way. Don't forget that Arsenal women are back here for the North London Derby on Sunday, March the 3rd, and will also face Leicester City at the Emirates on Sunday, April the 21st. Tickets are on sale now for both games. To top it all off, we beat Manchester United 3-1, and you can find the match report and lots of other news from the day, including a very special reunion, later in this programme. LGBTQ+ History Month. Every February, our club is united in its support of LGBTQ+ History Month, and today's match marks our official celebration. Our Arsenal in the Community team, who are trained by Stonewall to deliver LGBTQ+ awareness sessions, conducted two education days at the Arsenal Hub this month, alongside a series of workshops in local schools. Earlier today, we also hosted our annual LGBTQ+ inclusive five-a-side mixed teams football tournament at the Arsenal Hub. Led by gay gooners, Arsenal fans from various official supporters groups came together, including Red Action, Jewish gooners, and Arsenal women's groups. This time last year, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of our gay gooners, which has grown from being the first LGBTQ+ supporters club in British football to being the largest of its kind in the world today. They now have more than 1,800 members worldwide, including in some countries where it is illegal to be LGBTQ+. The LGBTQ+ community have continually broken down barriers on and off the pitch, and this month marks the community's impact on football and beyond. Our Arsenal family stands together to ensure everyone feels welcome to be a gooner. Rainbow Laces. Arsenal in the community contributed to the Premier League's Rainbow Laces campaign in November by delivering a series of workshops for young people on our programmes. Community staff have been trained by Stonewall to empower young people and football coaches to challenge and be more aware of homophobia in football. Last June and October, we also delivered 5 weeks of workshops for all Year 6 pupils across Islington and Camden, which focused on hate crime, including homophobic hate crime. You may also have noticed that the programme cover features a rainbow Arsenal crest, to reiterate our commitment to making Arsenal for everyone. Everyone in the Arsenal family can make a difference by having conversations, listening to others, understanding the stigma that still surrounds the LGBTQ+ community, and calling out discriminatory behaviour when we encounter it. As stewards of our club and our values, we ask supporters at Emirates Stadium to report any form of discrimination and abuse by texting 67777 with their block, row, and seat number. Five-star supporters clubs. Welcoming supporters clubs to Emirates Stadium on their special match day. Today, we welcome fans from Arsenal Peru, a supporters club that was founded by a group of five family and friends back in 2018 and now boasts nearly 350 members. And while most of them are based in their home country, they come from as far afield as the United States, Canada, Australia, and Spain. The founders actually grew up in London, close to the stadium, and would tell visitors from Peru all about Arsenal when they came to visit. The idea for the supporters club actually came from a conversation with one of our guides during a stadium tour, because there was no Peru flag on display. "Why don't you start a club?" our guide suggested. And thus, between London and Lima, Arsenal Peru was born. Little things like this show the class of the club and the fact that Arsenal have given us the opportunity to create a community in such a short period of time is something that we are very grateful for, they say, adding that having their own banner has helped increase membership back home. Watching matches together in Peru isn't always easy because of the time difference. London is 5 hours ahead of Lima. But when the group meets up in London, they assemble at the Tollington and welcome any visitors from their home country, making sure they visit Emirates Stadium and take in a tour before seeing other London landmarks such as Buckingham Palace and Big Ben. Although the group is still deciding which charity to support in its home country, members support Islington Food Bank and are planning a drive to make donations between now and the end of the season. Oh, and a special mention for La Señora Naja, the club's oldest member at the age of 94. That's old enough to have seen the great teams of the 1930s if Arsenal had been based in Peru. A record-breaking run. As well as aiming for a sixth successive Premier League win today, there's another record that our defenders would like to maintain. Newcastle haven't scored at Emirates Stadium since 2014. That's 3,360 days since the encounter in question, in which we ran out 4-1 winners. Olivier Giroud netted twice, and Santi Cazorla also got on the score sheet before the Toon's Spanish striker Ayoze Perez bagged what is still his club's last goal here. That encounter is mostly remembered for Cazorla cheekily netting a Panenka late on to restore the 3-goal advantage. Since the moment the striker headed in Jack Colback's free kick, 657 minutes have elapsed in league matches between the sides in North London, and Newcastle have failed to net, with the Magpies failing to convert any of their 63 attempts on goal in that time. We also recorded a 2-0 win in the FA Cup back in 2021, which takes the total up to 777 minutes in all competitive meetings. A goalless draw last season ended a 10-game winning run in this fixture, but did ensure a 7th consecutive home clean sheet against the Tynesiders. We've never kept 8 successive shutouts on home soil against the same opponent in our league history. The current run has seen us already claim one milestone. However, our 30 clean sheets against Newcastle is the most any side has kept against another in the history of the Premier League. Meet the mascots. Today's home mascot is Amber, aged 9, from Southfleet. Her favourite players are Martin Odegaard, Declan Rice, and Bukayo Saka. The away mascot is Joshua, aged 10, from Cledon. We hope you both have a great day. Ticket news. Home tickets. Arsenal v Brentford. Premier League. Saturday, March the 9th, 2024. Kickoff, 5:30 p.m. Tickets for this match are on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and Junior Gunner members via the ticket exchange service until 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, March the 9th. Please note that booking fees will apply to all ticket sales. Arsenal v FC Porto, UEFA Champions League, Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024, kickoff 8 p.m. Tickets for this match are on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and Junior Gunner members via the ticket exchange service until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, March the 12th. Please note that booking fees will apply to all ticket sales. Arsenal v Chelsea, Premier League, Saturday, March the 16th, 2024, kickoff 12:30 p.m. Tickets for this match are on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and Junior Gunner members via the ticket exchange service until 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, March the 16th. Please note that booking fees will apply to all ticket sales. Away tickets. Sheffield United v Arsenal, Bramall Lane, Premier League, Monday, March the 4th, 2024, kickoff 8 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Platinum, Gold and Travel Club members with 10 plus away points. Manchester City v Arsenal, Etihad Stadium, Premier League, Sunday, March the 31st, 2024, kickoff 4:30 p.m. Tickets for this match will be on sale to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 30 plus away points from 12 p.m. on Monday, February the 26th. Ref Watch. This evening's referee is Paul Tierney, aged 43, from Wigan. Paul has been a Premier League referee since 2014, and the biggest game of his career to date was last season's FA Cup final, the Manchester Derby that City won 2-1. He has taken charge of 2 Arsenal games this season, both here at the Emirates, our 2-2 draw against Fulham last August and our 5-0 win over Crystal Palace last month, a game in which neither side received a single yellow card. In total, Paul has refereed 20 Premier League games this season, showing 73 yellow cards at 3.65 per game and 3 red, one of which was for Fulham's Calvin Bassey here. NMR shirts for more role models. The No More Red initiative launched in January 2022 with Adidas to support the long-standing work being done by Arsenal in the community to keep young people safe from knife crime and youth violence. Within that, One of the aims was to spotlight the work of young people who have made a positive difference. And the latest recipients of our special No More Red Shirts today are Kebra and Hanif. Kebra first became a Copenhagen Youth Project member at the age of 14, before going on to provide youth consultation on activities and youth culture to CYP, the London Borough of Islington, the European Social Fund, and various commercial brands. She has since graduated from university, and over the past year has come back to CYP to successfully apply for a trustee position. She is now the youngest trustee and sits on the CYP board discussing strategy, finance and governance, reinforcing the youth voice at all levels. Hanif started his journey as an apprentice at Islington Council, working on the estate services programme. He has challenged himself by undertaking a formal qualification while gaining on-the-job experience working on our estates. He is an inspiration to other young people who, having seen Hanif push himself hard and commit to finishing what he started, are following in his footsteps by applying for apprenticeships themselves. Notice board. Happy birthday to our amazing Barrington. Love, Mum, Reese and Johnny. Welcome to the world, Ivo Sheldon McCullough. We are so excited for the future, with lots of happy memories at the Emirates. Lots of love, Mum, Dad and Emmy. To John Ward, lifelong supporter. Happy 80th, Dad, with lots of love from Mum, Mary, Paul and Louise. Happy 8th birthday, Avraj Singh Kalyan. Have an amazing day and enjoy the match at the Emirates today. Love, Mummy, Daddy and Avneet. Happy 11th birthday to our Arsenal mad son, Riley Cox. Love, Mum, Dad, Tobias, Maddie, Jesse and Joel. COYG. Have a great day at the match, Cormac McGee. Noah, my son, 18 tomorrow. Happy birthday. I love you so much. We all do. Love, Dad and the family. Happy 22nd birthday, Macy Stevens. Hope you have a great day at the Arsenal. Love, Ben. Happy 9th birthday to top junior gunner William Fielding. Lots of love from Daddy, Mummy and Arthur. Welcome 8-year-old Eli Grattan from Northern Ireland, who is attending his first ever game alongside his dad Philip. Love, Mum. Happy 60th birthday to lifelong gooner Frank. All the best from your Arsenal friends and family. Happy 90th birthday to Robbie, a lifelong Arsenal fan and season ticket holder, with lots of love from his family of Gunners. Good luck to junior Gunner Emerson Tago, age 6, who makes his Emirates debut tonight alongside his dad, Dev. COYG. Lots of love from Mummy and Daddy. Harper Murphy, born January the 21st, 2024. Born a Gooner like her big brother Elijah. Dad, Tom and Mum Leanne. Happy 14th birthday, Edie Summerill. Love from Mum, Rob, Nanny and Bampi. Enjoy the match. Happy 9th birthday, Charlie Haslett. Congratulations to our captain, Jordan Brooks, who is destined to become a captain in the sky as well as on the pitch after passing his pilot's exams. Well done on all your hard work, Skipper. From all at International Surrey Football. Happy birthday, Kate. Happy 80th birthday, Richard Dorset. Love your fellow Arsenal supporters, Hannah and Nick. Ralph Youper. Happy 60th birthday from the Willis family. Enjoy a rare day out in the posh seats. Happy 18th birthday, Victor Harmon. Your passion for football inspires us. Keep chasing your dreams with heart and determination. Happy birthday, Peter Moody. I'm not dead yet. Lots of love, Paula, and all your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Happy 70th birthday for next week to the best dad, granddad and lifelong Gooner, Vince Pascarella. Love from all the family. Arsenal remembers. Margaret Byrne. Rest in peace, lifelong Arsenal fan Margaret Byrne, from all your friends and family. Mick Holloway. Born in 1938 in Islington, was a lifelong Arsenal fan and a cherished husband, father, grandfather and great-grandfather. Sean McCreesh. Goodbye, our beautiful boy Sean, who passed away aged 14 on January the 23rd. We will love you always, Mum, Dad and Ryan. Steve Page. In memory of Pagey, 1962 to 2024. A devoted Arsenal fan who enjoyed watching his team play and never missed a game. He will be missed and forever loved by all his family and friends. Jack Thomas Malloy. Your family love you forever. We will always be a team. Rest in peace, our golden boy. Grenville Bloomfield. To the man, the legend. Fly high, my precious man. Love Gillian and everyone at the Laurels. We love you. Ron Rideout. R.I.P. Ron, 91 years old, lifelong gooner. Love from all the family. Steve Lindsay. Steve's season ticket was podium level behind the goal. He passed surrounded by family and reminders of Arsenal. Loved and remembered always. John Alistair Sheehan. Condolences to all those who knew this lifelong Arsenal fan, taken from us way too soon. Father, husband and son, partner to Natasha, children, Freddie, Skye and Finley. Neil Woodley. 15th of December 1971 to 4th of January 2024. A huge lifelong Arsenal fan. Through the good times and the bad. R.I.P. Harry Barker. In loving memory of Farthy, Harry Barker, June the 3rd, 1932 to January the 25th, 2024. A lifelong Arsenal fan and an exceptional grandfather. Love you always, Mercedes. Leslie Potter. A long, loyal Arsenal supporter, Mr. Leslie Potter passed away on February the 1st, 2024, at 97. Sadly missed by all in his family. He will be watching the team from above. Kim Sparrow. In loving memory of our true hero, husband, dad, granddad, and lifelong Arsenal fan. Sleep well, Kimbos. Love you forever. Marie Coe. In loving memory of our dear Marie Coe, a wonderful wife, mum, nanny, sister, and friend. A passionate lifelong gooner. Paddy O'Leary. Lifelong Arsenal supporter from Dublin with a special link to the club. Paddy nurtured the love of the game in his nephew David, buying him his first boots and driving him to matches, until David moved to England to take his place in Arsenal's youth team. Paddy couldn't have been prouder when his nephew went on to break the all-time appearance record for the Gunners, winning league titles and FA Cups on the way, as well as starring for the Republic of Ireland. Paddy will be greatly missed by all of the O'Leary family and his many friends.
Together, Oleksandr Zinchenko. We speak to our first team players about what togetherness and team spirit means to them. Left-back Oleksandr Zinchenko discusses what makes the current group of players special and how keeping together is so important for his nation. Oleksandr Alex Zinchenko joined us from Manchester City before the start of last season and immediately became an important player in the squad, providing exciting midfield thrust despite nominally playing as a left-back and showing demonstrable leadership skills on the pitch. Having won 4 Premier League titles, 4 League Cups and an FA Cup at the Etihad, he knows the requirements for success, including the need for togetherness. You need to trust each other. This is the main thing, says the 27-year-old. In terms of everything, it could be on the pitch or off the pitch. You need to feel like you are a member of a family with your teammates. That's what makes this team feel special. Like we are all members of a family. Everyone is trying to help you. They push you in difficult moments in a positive way every single time. That makes your life much, much easier. And team spirit, that's everyone being fully focused on the win in every single game. This mentality is the right way to achieve big things. We are still learning this, to be honest, but we are definitely on the right road to doing this. We are a close group, continues Alex, who is now just one match away from making 50 starts for the club. It's difficult to choose the player I'm closest to, but if I had to choose one, then it is Gabriel Jesus, because I have known him longer than my wife. I'm joking, but I have known him for a long time. We both have kids now, so our schedules mean it's quite hard to spend time together as families. But it's nice to share experiences with players from different countries and cultures, though we all speak the same language, football language, which is understood all around the world. Actually, I have always wanted to go to Brazil, so it's nice now to have friends through football that I can ask about this country and give me advice. Throughout Alex's career, he has found the right blend of teammates to create a special bond amongst the players. I was lucky, to be honest, because from when I was little, I always had a special group of people in teams. My first team, Carpathia, in Radomišil, where I was born and raised, I have a special group there. It's so important to have good teammates around you. In the beginning, I used to play with much older guys, but you need a good mix of players at different stages of their careers to get success. A good combination. First of all, if you have someone with experience, they can share things with the younger players. I remember when I first started to play in a professional team and there were guys much, much older than me. Every time they gave you advice, you had to listen with open ears, you know? You can have teams with just young players, but at some stages in matches there can be difficult situations where you need to know what to do from experience. Hold the ball, even make a foul. You need to read the situation, and without experience, that's very difficult to do. Alex remembers the wisdom imparted by older teammates whenever he is in a situation where he can help one of many talented youngsters coming through the ranks at Arsenal. 100%, I remember receiving advice like it was yesterday. And so, when you see really young players training or playing with you, you try to visualize yourself in their shoes. You see some things they are doing right, some things they are doing wrong, not because of their quality, but because they are just inexperienced, and you just want to help them. I was lucky to have people around me who gave me help and advice when I was young, and that's why I'm happy to do the same now if the time is right to do it. In March 2021, Alex became Ukraine's youngest captain, aged 24. So, was it difficult to be the figurehead of the team, many of whom were older than him? To be honest, if you see the games when I was captaining my team, I had played more than lots of the older guys, and so I didn't feel uncomfortable at all, says Alex, who now has 58 caps for his country. And today, in modern football, it's not just the captain who is the leader. I think if you have plenty of leaders in your team, it makes your life much easier. That's what evolved in the Ukrainian national team on and off the pitch, and we have the same situation with Arsenal too. I think I look at this word leader a bit deeper than other words. Leader can be a guy who is not playing on the team regularly, but the way he is around the squad, without him it would be a lot more difficult. Tonight's game falls on the second anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The declaration of war was a moment that truly shocked the world and was utterly devastating for Alex and his fellow Ukrainians. He has repeatedly spoken about the need for football to keep the spotlight on the conflict, not least by helping to organise the game for Ukraine last August. On this unwanted anniversary, he reflects on life now for his compatriots. No one can realise what we're going through, all of us Ukrainians, especially those living in the country, trying to adapt their lives with the bombs above them, says Alex, who is from Radomyshyl, 100 kilometres to the west of Kyiv. I have two kids now, and I can't imagine me and my family living this life when during the night there is a siren and you have to go and hide yourself in the bunker, in the shadows. It's hard to explain to people that this is the situation in Ukraine. But all of us football players who play abroad, we are talking to people back home, of course, and trying to help as much as we can, however we can, trying to send a message to the people around the world about the situation. I can understand that there is some fatigue with people about the war, but we need to carry on. You never know what is going to happen for the next years. We need to stick together. Understandably passionate as he stresses the focus that must remain on his country, he goes on to highlight how football can help. We understand as players that what we have is an extra responsibility. What we can give to our people are some extra emotions. Make them smile, make them happy for at least a couple of minutes. This is our duty, to bring them joy. That's what we try and do every single time we play with the Ukrainian badge on our chest. How football came together for Game for Ukraine made me very proud. If you take a step back and look at the names who played, who came to support us, I'm very proud. The main target was to raise money to rebuild schools in Ukraine, but also to send another powerful message to the rest of the world that Ukraine will never give up, and to our people back home that we were thinking about them. On the game closest to the first anniversary last year, at Leicester on February 25th, Alex wore the captain's armband in our 1-0 win, an armband made in Ukrainian colours. That also made me feel very proud, and thanks to Martin and to Mikel for that opportunity, and also to the Premier League for allowing there to be attention on this and send another message to the rest of the world. More generally, Alex's respect for his manager and his fellow players is obvious, but he also stresses the importance of the entire backroom staff and beyond at Arsenal and their key role in ensuring the team on the pitch can operate at the superb standard we have witnessed in recent seasons. I have a good relationship with all of them, the wider staff, and it's important we all feel part of the group, he says. Maybe some fans around the world look at us and think Arsenal is just the team they see on the pitch. It's much, much bigger than that. It's the guys who work so hard at the training ground and at the stadium to make this team, this club, a success. Us players, we are just like the actors in the film, but there are a lot of people behind the scenes which is making this film special. Without all their contributions, to achieve any success would be very, very hard. And lastly, when we talk of togetherness, the final word has to go to supporters. And on Alex's arrival at the start of last season, he was truly taken aback by the passion of their support at Emirates Stadium and can't help himself from making his own small contribution to the atmosphere too. The energy from the fans, I felt it was really special, says Zinni. I realised how big Arsenal fans were as a club. Without their support, it would be so, so hard, especially in the games when sometimes it's not going well and they just keep pushing you. That's why we call them our 12th player. My family always loves the atmosphere too. They are excited and sing North London Forever. Even me, when I'm on the pitch or on the bench, when this song starts, I cannot avoid it. I'm joining in too.
Foundation Voice. Arsenal Acts. The Arsenal Foundation has helped to fund REACT, a charity working to improve the quality of life for terminally ill children living in financially disadvantaged households through the provision of essential equipment and aid. Connor O'Donovan tells us about their work. I joined REACT as an administrator straight from university around 7 years ago, as I was determined to join a charity that makes a real difference to people in need. I happened to live close to the REACT office and was deeply moved by their work. When I joined, I was amazed that such a relatively small team could impact the lives of so many families around the UK. We're a small, tight-knit team, working hard to turn around requests from families as quickly as possible, and raising funds to ensure we can keep helping those who need it most. Our family liaison officers work closely with families and healthcare professionals, and we aim to respond to all requests within a maximum 48-hour time frame, or even the very same day for the most urgent requests. For example, if a child's health takes a turn for the worse and urgently needs a seizure monitor, or if a car seat is needed to transport their child to and from a specialist care centre miles away from home. I oversee the fundraising site of REACT's activities, but all our team members are trained in all aspects of the charity's work, working directly with families and the kind fundraisers, volunteers and donors in the community who enable us to continue doing what we do. Just one example of the children we have helped recently is a boy called Philip. His first seizure at just 5 months old was initially thought to be infantile spasms, but years later, when displaying signs of poor mobility and autism, he was diagnosed with Dravet syndrome. Philip will suffer seizures for the rest of his life, and he is in danger of collapsing at any time. His mum, Gabriella, knew that a standard children's buggy couldn't offer Philip adequate postural support, and as a 10-year-old he still has plenty of growing to do. Specialist pushchairs are very expensive, but we were able to help by supplying her with one. The Arsenal Foundation's grant was used to improve the lives of two terminally ill children in North London, both under the age of 5. One child, who lives with a rare brain disorder, was provided a Peapod seat, a large, comfortable specialist chair that provides full postural support for children with severe disabilities. The second child lives with a severe illness that is degenerative and was provided a lightweight portable specialist seat called a go-to. This is also a specialist seat and is designed to be used almost anywhere, at the dinner table, at the park and on shopping trolleys. Working for a charity like REACT is, of course, deeply rewarding. One aspect I'd really like to emphasise is just how wonderful, caring and inspiring all of the parents that we work with on a daily basis are. There can be nothing more devastating and heartbreaking than receiving the diagnosis that your child will not live to adulthood and... For most of our parents, caring for their child is a full-time and often exhausting task. Despite the unimaginable challenges these families face, they all simply want to provide the most enriched and fulfilling life possible for their children, and they show extraordinary strength to keep going each day. The carer parents I've worked with through REACT are genuinely some of the loveliest people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, and we are so happy to be able to make their lives that bit easier. Bereavement is also part of the job. REACT provides end-of-life care, such as memorial headstones, for families whose child has sadly passed away, and we are as sensitive and sympathetic as possible when working with them. We try to make the application process simple and offer a friendly ear at the end of a phone line. The Arsenal Foundation's support has had a direct positive impact on the lives of two terminally ill children and their families living in the local community, and on their behalf we are incredibly grateful. The Foundation carries out fantastic work for many excellent causes, and I'm sure all beneficiaries would agree. The more football clubs helping charities and local communities, the better.
Sustainability. Arsenal Acts. Green Football Weekend. Sky Sports were on hand at our last home game against Liverpool to report on the club's efforts for the Green Football Weekend. Reporter David Garrido looked at elements of our sustainability offering, including highlighting our matchday food bank, which was helped out by a donation from Liverpool FC, who have been providing a similar service for 5 years at their home fixtures. Garrido also highlighted the enhanced vegan and vegetarian menu on offer at our last match, including Raymond Blanc's vegan menu in the sumptuous surrounds of the Diamond Club. And our new aluminium cups, all 12,000 of them, were discussed too. These cups are infinitely recyclable and were created through a partnership between the club and Ball Corporation. On our club media, Breakdown Live welcomed former favourite Mathieu Flamini, who has become heavily involved in sustainability, partly because of the successful biochemical company he founded, but also due to his upbringing, as he explained to Nicole Holliday. "I am one of the ambassadors and very pleased to be at the match today," he said. "Football has been a big passion all my life, but so too has sustainability. I grew up by the sea in Corsica, and my father was a diver. I remember collecting all the plastic on the beach and being very much aware of the impact humankind has on nature. Football is one of the biggest industries that can unite people behind a cause like this." Life of a Lioness. Our club-supported teams in Boer, the Lions and Lionesses, have become famous in their local community for both playing and helping to plant the Arsenal Forest, of which we have now planted 31,500 trees, meaning our forest of neem trees is now the size of 17.5 Emirates pitches. Just imagine that the next time you're looking at our perfect playing surface. But despite having become celebrities in the region because of their prowess on the pitch and association with our club, these young Kenyans do have to undertake lots of the mundane jobs rural workers do in the region. The pictures in the hard copy of the programme give an indication as to how they spend their time when they're not scoring goals or putting in decisive tackles. Be a part of the Arsenal Forest. For more on the project and to buy your own trees for just £1 each, scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme.
Community Voice, Arsenal Acts. Project Rocky 7, weekly participants 25, available to selected young people. Sessions take place at the Arsenal Hub and elsewhere in London. For more information, contact Lizzie O'Connor, Senior Coordinator for Targeted Programmes, at loconnor@arsenal.co.uk. The Rocky 7 programme was set up in 2021 to mark the 20th anniversary of the passing of Arsenal legend David Rowcastle. The project sits within our PL Kicks programme, which aims to engage young people through sport and support them off the pitch. Rocky 7 aims to provide young people with opportunities to gain qualifications, share their views and opinions, and make a positive impact in their community. Every activity, trip and session is planned by Arsenal in the Community staff and aims to provide young people with a variety of experiences that will inspire and challenge them. Earlier this month, a panel of emerging young leaders came together to influence the direction of Rocky 7 to help Arsenal in the Community provide the best opportunities for the groups involved. This helped organise a variety of exciting events throughout the recent February half term. One of our participants said, "I have learned to communicate better through doing different tasks and us working together as a team." Four young people visited the Sobo Realty Training Centre for an amazing tour and came away inspired by the legacy of Arsenal as well as its future. They saw Rocky's impact here, as a number of the decorations and murals are dedicated to his time at the club. Members of the group also went to the London Energy Eco Park to see how waste is processed and turned into energy to power our homes. They then played the Tottenham Foundation's girls team in a friendly. One of the participants said, "These activities inspire me to keep coming to training and working on myself to stay with Arsenal." On top of all that, more than 40 young people came to the Arsenal Hub throughout the week to achieve two qualifications, first aid with St. John's Ambulance and skills in football. The young people also got creative, making models of themselves and others who inspire them and discussing what makes a leader. The Rocky 7 participants will continue to work with us until August.
Academy Young Gun, Josh Robinson. The Basics, born Leytonstone, 20th of the 12th, 04.
joined 3rd of the 3rd, 2016. Height 6 foot, weight 80 kilograms, position right back or centre back, school Bower Park Academy, Romford, number 70. Rate yourself out of 100. Pace 90, dribbling 70, passing 70, shooting 55, defending 85, physical 80. I grew up in the Leighton area of East London, and my family background is that my dad is Jamaican and my mum is Malaysian and English. Before I got into football, I did a lot of swimming. I got into football by watching people play in my area, and I thought it looked fun, so I decided to get involved. At school, I started to play football more, and on top of that, I would be in the athletics teams too. But I just saw football as a hobby rather than an actual career at that point. Growing up, I'd play on the wing, so I enjoyed watching players like Douglas Costa, who was quality. I also liked Paul Pogba too. He was skillful and had great technical ability. My position changed to fullback wingback when I was in a pre-academy team because they noticed I was good at getting up and down the pitch, and I didn't mind doing the defensive work either. I think previously being a winger helped me adapt to fullback because nowadays you have to get forward and support the attack, and I also like the defensive work, so it's the perfect role for me. Before I joined Arsenal officially, I had been on trial with them a year before, but I didn't get in. After that, I had a trial at Crystal Palace, and after 4 weeks, they were impressed. I was actually about to sign for them, but Arsenal came back and showed their interest in me, so I decided to sign for them at around 11 years old. When I first got to Hale End, I was nervous, but also very excited. It's great when you go there and you see all the staff in the Arsenal kit and the lovely pitches. Sometimes we got to train with older age groups and we'd see the levels we're trying to get to. Also, there were a lot of talented players, as you can imagine, so I just wanted to make sure that I could keep up with them. Some of the best memories from those days were the chance to visit countries from all over the world. For example, I've been to India. The culture out there is very different, and it was a wonderful experience. We even went to Qatar, and it was so hot out there. When we brought out a cooler of ice, it turned to water in no longer than 30... When we brought out a cooler of ice, it turned to water in no longer than 30 minutes. When I got called in for my scholarship decision, I was initially confused when they called me in. At first, I thought I was in trouble or I had done something wrong, but it was a surreal moment when they told me that they wanted to offer me a full scholarship. Similarly, when I got my professional contract, it felt amazing to see that all my hard work had paid off. Even though there's plenty of work to be done, I'm happy to know that Arsenal staff have put their faith in me and believe in my ability. Last year's FA Youth Cup run to the final was special, even though we didn't manage to get over the line. It was still an amazing experience to be able to play at big grounds like St James's Park and Emirates Stadium. The Emirates is an amazing surface and is much bigger than I expected. When you're running on it, there's so much space. It's a dream come true to have been able to play there, and to be able to do it in an Arsenal shirt made it even more special. Scoring my first league goal for the under-21s against Leeds United was a great moment, especially given that I'd been out for so long with injury, and it earned us a point on the day too. I've trained with the first team on multiple occasions, and it's a challenge to say the least. When I first got there, I was starstruck, and you notice that everything they do is so clean and executed to the highest level. My aim for the rest of the season is to firstly become a consistent part of the under-21 squad. I've just come back from injury, so I want to be able to stay fit and play as many games as possible. Then, while I'm on the pitch, I want to contribute by getting more clean sheets, goals, and assists. Before a game, I always make sure to check the pitch, and I only ever wear studs, no matter how hard the surface is. I'm also big about my faith, so I say a prayer before every game. My Bible has helped me a lot, particularly those times when I was injured.
Around the Academy. Under-21s come back to beat Saints. Mehmet Ali said his side can reach higher levels after his under-21 side came back from 2-1 down at half-time to beat Southampton 4-2 in Premier League 2 on Friday, February the 16th. Nathan Butler Oyedeji opened the scoring inside 2 minutes, but two quick-fire goals from the visitors saw them go into the break ahead. After the restart, goals from Osman Kamara, Ismail Ulad Emhand and Jimmy Gower completed an impressive turnaround. It's definitely a great result because we won the game, got 3 points and scored 3 goals in the second half to win 4-2, Ali said. But in terms of the performance, we weren't happy tonight, as a group of staff and the lads were disappointed with their performance, and rightly so. The way we play, you have to really commit out of possession to go for the opposition, and we didn't do that well enough. We had to make a few tweaks to help players on the pitch, and it was better in the second half. We won more duels, we were more aggressive, and got some goals on transition, which was good, and from a set piece, but with the ball we've got a lot of work to do. We've had a lot of second years come up, and we've got a lot of work to do on the training pitch, because we didn't look after the ball well enough and dominate how I know that we can. The win followed the under-21s 1-1 draw at home to Leeds United the previous Friday night. The visitors went ahead in the 32nd minute of the Premier League 2 fixture, but Josh Robinson scored an equaliser for us early in the second half. I felt that we controlled large parts and spells of the game, which was good to see, Ali said. We had a different group today because we've had a lot of boys go out on loan, which is brilliant for them and something that they need for their development. And I was pleasantly surprised with a lot of the second-year scholars who played with bravery and good forward intent. It shows a lot of the good work that we're doing in the PDP and the under-18s have been doing, because I thought they stepped up to the challenge really well, Ali added. I'm just frustrated with the goal that we gave away. I think it's an avoidable goal and we need to communicate and make sure we're scanning. But that's our playing style. We've just got to be better at it. Having said that, the boys' response was excellent. We stayed calm, got our reward with a goal, and I felt we could have gone on to win the game. In terms of preparation, we're almost rebuilding now, looking at helping the younger boys establish themselves in 21s football, understand our culture and what we're trying to do with the 21s. The older boys have got a lot of responsibility for that, and the younger ones need to come and step up and embrace the opportunity they've got, and I felt that a lot of them did that tonight. Under-18s bow out of PL Cup. Jack Wilshere was proud of his players despite being knocked out of the Under-18 Premier League Cup at the quarter-final stage with a 4-2 defeat at Manchester United on Saturday, February the 3rd. We twice came from behind, courtesy of goals from Osman Kamara and Josh Nichols, to force extra time against a side who have won every league game this season, but we didn't have enough in the final 30 minutes. Over 90 minutes, I thought we were the better team, Wilshere said. I thought we had done enough, in my opinion, to win the game, but after extra time, I thought they looked stronger and more streetwise. All in all, I was pleased with the performance, as it's a very tough place to come to, given their record this season. I want to give credit to the players for how they applied themselves, and they're disappointed to lose at this stage of the competition. It's a tough one to take, but there are some positives to build upon. Given that several under-21 players have gone out on loan, Wilshere hopes some of his under-18 squad will relish the opportunity of playing at a higher level. That's the development game where you might not get an opportunity, and then all of a sudden 5-6 players go out on loan and you're then thrown into the deep end. Hopefully we've prepared them well enough for that, and we've aligned our playing styles so that once they step into Mehmet's team, they can understand what he's trying to do and just play. It will also be a test for some under-16 players who will also have to step up to the under-18s. 2 weeks later, back in league action, the under-18s drew 2-2 at Southampton. After the game, Wilshere said his side need to be better in possession after we were pegged back twice. We took the lead through Kamani Ryan's stunning strike after just 9 minutes, but shortly after, Nicholas Oyatunde equalised. We retook the lead 2 minutes after the restart, but we were pegged back late on through Jaden Moore's header. The under-18s head coach said, "I didn't think we had anything in possession. We pressed well at times, but when you play for Arsenal and you get the ball, you need to look after it, keep it and make passes. You cannot panic and give the ball away. In fairness, we did score two good goals, but we didn't defend our box well enough. We suffered at times, and it shows good character when you suffer and get something out of the game, but we have to be better. We've got to step up. The secondary scholars are stepping up to the under-21s, and the ones who haven't played as much get the opportunity to show us why they should be playing more. The first years are just over 7 months into their 2 year scholarship, and that goes very quickly, so we need to maximise every opportunity, every training session, to try to help the players. Ultimately, when you're playing for Arsenal, your technical level has to be high, and that's something we can improve in every day in training." Rojas addresses the Eden project. Academy goalkeeper Alexei Rojas addressed Reclaim, a special weekend hosted at the Eden project, focused on mental health and planetary well-being. Alexei spoke alongside Elliot Arthur Warsop, founder of Football for Future, as the two discussed the role of football in sustainability. Alexei is an environmental champion for our academy, having played a major role in our move to remove single-use plastic from Hale End, as well as introducing compostable packaging and better means of recycling and waste sorting across our sites. Sago Jr. is a Swan. Charles Sago Jr. has joined Championship side Swansea City on loan for the remainder of the season. The winger has performed well so far in 2023-2024, making 16 appearances in all competitions for our academy, scoring 3 and assisting 10 times, and he was rewarded with a first-team debut when he started in our 1-0 Carabao Cup win against Brentford back in September. He'll join up with Arsenal teammate Charlie Patino, who has also been on loan at Swansea City since the start of this season. Beereth among the goals. On loan striker Mika Beereth scored on his first start for SK Sturm Graz in their 2-0 win over Austria Vienna in the quarterfinals of the Austrian Cup on Friday, February the 9th. The forward scored the second in first half stoppage time with a powerful strike from inside the box to clinch a semi-final showdown with RB Salzburg. He then scored the opener in Sturm Graz's 4-1 win over Slovan Bratislava in the Europa Conference League knockout playoff first leg. Enwanery makes late show in West Ham rout. Ethan Enwanery made his second Premier League appearance after he came on in the 77th minute of our 6-0 win over West Ham United. The 16-year-old, who became the top flight's youngest ever debutant when he appeared in last season's 3-0 win over Brentford at just 15 years of age, showed some nice touches at the London Stadium after replacing Gabriel Martinelli. Enwanery was joined in the squad by fellow academy teammates Raoul Walters and Mauro Bandera, who were unused substitutes in the game, while James Sweet was on the bench the following week against Burnley. Trio depart on deadline day. There was some transfer movement from the Arsenal Academy on deadline day, as Miguel Aziz, Bradley Ibrahim and Lino Souza made permanent moves away from the club. Miguel Aziz has joined Spanish side Atletico Baleares in a permanent transfer. The 21-year-old midfielder joined our academy in May 2011 and signed his first professional contract with us in September 2019. He made his first team debut at the age of 18 when he came on in our 4-2 win away to Dundalk in the UEFA Europa League group stage back in December 2020. Bradley Ibrahim has joined two Bundesliga side Hertha BSC in a permanent deal. The midfielder initially joined the academy in September 2017 from QPR and went on to sign his first professional contract with us in March 2022. Bradley has also featured on the bench this season, In our 3-1 Premier League win against Burnley at Emirates Stadium back in November. Finally, left-back Lino Souza has joined Aston Villa in a permanent transfer. The 19-year-old joined us in January 2022 from West Bromwich Albion, signing a professional contract on arrival. The defender earned himself a place on the bench for our 3-0 Premier League win away to Brentford in September 2022, and he was on the bench for our FA Cup third-round tie against Liverpool last month. We thank Miguel, Bradley and Lino for their contributions to the club and wish them all the best in their new endeavours. Edwards heads to Orient. Kyan Edwards has joined League One side Leyton Orient on loan for the remainder of the season. The 20-year-old forward was named as a substitute on two separate occasions in the UEFA Europa League group stage away to Bodo Glimt and home to PSV Eindhoven back in October 2022. He joins Leyton Orient in fine form, having scored 9 goals in 14 appearances for Arsenal's under-21s this season. Monlui joins Royals. Central defender Zane Monlui has joined League One side Reading on loan for the remainder of the season. Since graduating from Hale End, the 20-year-old has made his way through every age group and gone on to make nearly 80 appearances combined for our under-18s and under-21s, as well as being a regular captain in recent seasons. Rakic is Switzerland-bound. Omar Rakic has joined Swiss side Servette on loan for the remainder of the season. The 22-year-old defender has recently returned from his short-term loan deal with League One side Wigan Athletic. This was Omar's second loan spell with Wigan, having spent the second half of last season with them. However, he now takes his talents to Geneva, where he joins a Servette side who are going strong in the Swiss Pro League. They are currently second in the standings, behind Young Boys.
Arsenal Women. First half blitz sees off United. The Gunners dismantled Manchester United during a breathless first half in front of yet another Women's Super League record crowd at the Emirates last Saturday. Not even a sell-out attendance of 60,160 could quite overshadow what happened on the pitch as Arsenal raced into a 3-goal lead before the break and went on to win 3-1 and move 3 points off the top of the Women's Super League. The Gunners were set up to attack Manchester United with pace, but it was the visitors who started on the front foot, with Sabrina D'Angelo racing out to deny Nikita Paris, Leia Cordona conceding a free kick, and the Canadian keeper scrambling to palm the ball away from Paris. 5 minutes in, we got a foothold in the game and never looked back. Millie Turner beat Stina Blackstenius to Beth Mead's cross after a flowing team move from left to right, and Mary Earps then cleared away one corner only for Arsenal to score from the next when a combination of Gaze and Maya Letizier deflected Katie McCabe's delivery past the England keeper. The visitors were rattled, and Turner had to race out wide to deny Little after Mead had skinned Gemma Evans. The United centre-back then did even better by getting her head to Mead's goal-bound effort to deflect the shot wide. We doubled our lead on 35 minutes when Mead played in Victoria Pullover down the right, and although Blackstenius couldn't control a pass that went just behind her, Katie Zellum's clearance flew straight to Chloe Lacasse, who instinctively headed past Earps to make it 2-0. We weren't done yet, and things got even better before the break when Turner took Mead out in the box after Kim Little had flicked on Lacasse's cross from the left, and the skipper stepped up to send Earps the wrong way and net her second goal of the season, 4 days after her first in the League Cup quarter-final. We were unfortunate not to add to our tally after the break. Earps denied Blackstenius from close range, and Mead cracked a shot off the far post, and then moments later she did it again, rattling the woodwork on the opposite side after a layoff from Little. The visitors did score a late consolation through Lucia Garcia in the 97th minute, but the win was secure by that point, and with Manchester City winning at Chelsea the previous evening, it's tight at the top of the Women's Super League. Invincibles reunited. There was an extra cause for celebration at Emirates Stadium last Saturday when legendary Arsenal women founder and manager Vic Akers and members of our quadruple-winning Invincible squad were honoured for their achievements. Vic and many of his former players were presented with gifts to mark that incredible 2006-07 season when we won the Champions League, Women's Premier League, FA Cup and League Cup without losing a single game in any competition. We won all 22 of our league games, scoring 119 goals and conceding only 10. We also beat Leeds United 1-0 in the League Cup final, saw off Swedish giants Umeå to become European champions and crowned it all by beating Charlton Athletic 4-1 in the FA Cup final. Our complete record that season was played 44, won 42, drew 2, lost 0, with both draws coming in Europe. Players present were, in alphabetical order, Anita Asante, Emma Byrne, Katie Chapman, Gemma Davison, Julie Fleeting, Kiara Grant, Sean Larking, Jane Ludlow, Leanne Sanderson, Kelly Smith, Rebecca Spencer, Yvonne Tracy, Faye White and Rachel Yankee. We also welcomed former staff members, including current Chelsea manager Emma Hayes, who was Vic's assistant coach and head of our girls' academy back then. Cup highs and lows. Do you want the bad news or the good news first? Okay, let's get the bad news out of the way. Arsenal are out of the Women's FA Cup after a narrow and slightly unfortunate 1-0 defeat at home to Manchester City in the fifth round on Sunday, February 11th. The visitors took the lead against the run of play on 74 minutes when Leia Alexandri capitalised on an unfortunate deflection off Steph Catley, and then City keeper Kiara Keating kept us at bay with some outstanding saves, although she was fortunate in stoppage time when a fumble from a corner may have crossed the line but was not given by the referee. The good news was that we bounced back 3 days later by beating London City Lionesses 4-0 to reach the last four of the Continental Cup. The Championship side held out for nearly 40 minutes, only to concede twice before half-time, with Chloe Lacaste heading home from a corner and Kim Little converting a penalty for a foul on Stina Blackstenius. We scored twice after the break as well, Lacaze firing in her second and sub Alessia Russo rounding off a fine team move with a towering header. We will now face Aston Villa on Wednesday, March the 6th, for a place in the final of a competition we won for a record-extending sixth time last season. And it's the North London Derby next. Our next game in the Women's Super League following the current international break is another big one as we take on Tottenham Hotspur here at Emirates Stadium on Sunday, March 3rd. Kick-off is at 12:30 p.m. and we're hoping for another great occasion in front of a huge crowd. Tickets are selling fast, but you can still find some available via arsenal.com. Tickets are also available for our final Emirates game of the season against Leicester City on Sunday, April 21st. In other fixture news, our crunch clash with Chelsea at Stamford Bridge will now take place on Friday, March 15th, with kick-off at 7 p.m. And our game at Aston Villa will get underway at 6:45 p.m. on Sunday, March 24th. Kim and Jen honoured. There were a lot of highlights here at Emirates Stadium last Saturday, and two of them involved players who have both made huge contributions over their two stints at Arsenal. Although she has been struggling with injuries since our 4-1 win over Chelsea in December, Kim Little made her 300th Arsenal appearance during our 6-0 win over Reading in the Continental Cup last month, and we couldn't pass up the opportunity to mark that achievement in front of a huge Emirates crowd. She received a special gift from Vic Akers, the man who originally signed her back in 2008. Meanwhile, Jennifer Beattie signed for NWSL side Bay Football Club in January, and she returned to say a proper farewell to a club where, like Kim, she has enjoyed two successful spells. Thank you, Jen, and good luck.
Tonight's visitors, Newcastle United. Formed 1892. Stadium, St James's Park, since formation. Owners, Public Investment Fund, Saudi Arabia. Honours, League Champions, 1904-05, 1906-07, 1908-09, 1926-27. Second Tier Champions, 1964-65, 1992-93, 2009-10, 2016-17. FA Cup winners, 1910, 1924, 1932, 1951, 1952, 1955. Community Shield winners, 1909. Intercities Fairs Cup winner, 1968-69. 2022-23, POTY, Kieran Trippier. Most appearances, Jimmy Lawrence, 496, 1904-1922. Most goals, Alan Shearer, 206, 1996-2006. Famous fans, Anton Deck, TV presenters, Matt Hancock, politician, Jimmy Nail, actor-singer, Chris Dobie, darts player, Sam Fender, musician. The 2023-24 season has been one of mixed emotions for Newcastle United. Back in the Champions League for the first time in 20 years, and in European competition for the first time in 11, they were unable to progress beyond the group stage, and they've also blown hot and cold in the Premier League, mixing memorable victories such as their 1-0 success at home to Arsenal in November with some unexpected draws and defeats. The Magpies came into this weekend 8th in the Premier League table, which puts them on the fringes of European qualification. They are also still in the FA Cup, with a 5th round trip to Blackburn coming up on Tuesday. Eliminated from the 3rd round of that competition in each of the past 3 seasons, including by Arsenal 2-0 after extra time here at Emirates Stadium in 2021, they will be eyeing just a 2nd quarter-final in the last 18 years. And ultimately, a first major domestic trophy since they became FA Cup winners for the 6th time in 1955. Although Eddie Howe's injury-stricken side have surprisingly failed to win any of their last 4 Premier League matches at St James's Park, defeats by Nottingham Forest 3-1 and Manchester City 3-2, preceding eventful draws against Luton 4-4 and last Saturday Bournemouth 2-2, they're in fine form on the road. Having won only twice on their travels in their first 15 matches in all competitions this term, Newcastle have won each of their last 4 away fixtures, the first two in the FA Cup, 3-0 at Sunderland and 2-0 at Fulham, and the last two in the Premier League, both in the Midlands, 3-1 at Aston Villa and 3-2 at Nottingham Forest. That is quite a reversal from the first half of the season, when they won 8 of their first 9 Premier League home games, but just 1 of their first 10 away. A momentous 8-0 victory at Sheffield United in September. They also recorded a stunning 4-1 win against Paris Saint-Germain on match day 2 of the Champions League, but then lost at home to both Borussia Dortmund and AC Milan. Though it was the harshest of penalty decisions awarded to the French side in stoppage time of the return fixture at the Parc des Princes that cruelly denied Newcastle a memorable double over the French champions and ultimately sealed their European fate. Eddie Howe, manager, born 29th of November 1977, Amersham. Previously Bournemouth 2008-2011, Burnley 2011-2012, Bournemouth 2012-2020. Eddie was appointed as the replacement for Steve Bruce in November 2021 and assisted by the considerable investment of the club's new Saudi Arabian owners, has turned the Magpies into a Premier League force again. A former defender who spent virtually his entire playing career with Bournemouth, he led the Cherries as manager to 3 promotions and 5 successive seasons as a Premier League club before their relegation in 2020. He achieved Champions League qualification and a place in the Carabao Cup final with Newcastle last season, but his major objective is to finally end the club's long wait for a trophy. Number 1. Martin Dubravka, goalkeeper, born Žilina, Slovakia, 15th of January 1989. Previously, Žilina, Esbjerg, Slovan Liberec, Sparta Prague, Manchester United, loan. Former first-choice keeper, Martin has played all of Newcastle's last 15 matches across 4 competitions following the shoulder injury sustained by England international Nick Pope at home to Manchester United in early December. The 40-cap Euro 2024-bound Slovakian international joined the Magpies on loan from Sparta Prague in January 2018, having twice won his national title with hometown club Žilina. Number 2. Kieran Trippier, right-back. Born Bury, 19th September 1990. Previously, Man City, Barnsley, loan, Burnley, Tottenham, Atletico Madrid. Now 33, former Burnley and Tottenham right-back Kieran has been captaining Newcastle of late, having joined the club in January 2022 following 2.5 seasons in Spain with Atletico Madrid, where he won La Liga in 2020-21. A free-kick scorer for England in the 2018 World Cup semi-final, he has since ceded his place to Kyle Walker, but will hope to add to his 46 international caps this year. Number 5. Fabian Schär, centre-back. Born Ville, Switzerland, 20th of December 1991. Previously, Ville, Basel, Hoffenheim, Deportivo La Coruña. A Newcastle player since 2018, when he joined after just 1 La Liga campaign with Deportivo, centre-back Fabian is enjoying arguably the best of his 6 seasons with Newcastle, starting every Premier League and Champions League game and scoring 3 goals, 2 at Villa Park and 1 at the City Ground, in recent away victories. A seasoned international, the 32-year-old has played in 5 major tournaments for the Swiss. Number 33, Dan Byrne, left-back, born Blyth, 9th of May 1992. Previously, Darlington, Fulham, Yeovil, loan, Birmingham, loan, Wigan, Brighton. Dan returned home to his native North East in January 2022 after 3 years at Brighton, where he repeatedly proved his Premier League credentials, having spent most of his career in the lower divisions. Used as a central defender or left wing-back by Albion, the giant 31-year-old has predominantly operated as a left-back for Newcastle, the club he supported as a boy, and has scored 4 goals this term. Number 39, Bruno Guimarães, central midfield. Born Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, 16th November 1997. Previously, Audax, Atlético Paranaense, Lyon. A member of Brazil's 2022 World Cup squad, Bruno joined Newcastle after 2 years in France with Lyon and has continued to further his reputation in England as a classy all-round midfielder with the ability to control the tempo of the game. He has been in impressive form this term, starting all but 1 Premier League encounter and hitting the winner in the Magpies' recent 3-2 win at Nottingham Forest. Number 24, Miguel Almirón, centre midfield. Born Asunción, Paraguay, 13th November 1993. Previously, Cerro Porteño, Lanús, Atlanta United. Acquired for £21 million in January 2019 from MLS champions Atlanta United, Miguel arrived with a reputation as an eye-catching dribbler and goalscorer, having been voted into the MLS All-Star team in each of his 2 years there. The Paraguayan maverick has become a cult figure, scoring a personal best tally of 11 goals last season and 5 so far this term, although none so far in 2024. Number 67, Lewis Miley, centre-forward. Born Stanley, 1st of May 2006. Previously, none. One of the revelations of this Premier League season, 17-year-old Lewis has made a remarkable transition from Newcastle Academy graduate to first-team regular, seizing the chance offered to him by the club's injury crisis to secure a berth in Magpies midfield. The local lad became Newcastle's youngest Premier League goalscorer when he netted in the 3-0 home win over Fulham on December 16th. Number 10, Anthony Gordon, left wing. Born Liverpool, 24th of February 2001. Previously Everton, Preston loan. Anthony moved to St James's Park midway through last season in a £40 million-plus transfer from hometown club Everton. After a discreet introduction to Tyneside, the versatile forward was voted player of the tournament at England's Euro Under-21 triumph last summer and has since shone repeatedly for his new club. The winning strike against Arsenal in November, one of the 8 Premier League goals he has scored this season. 2023/2024 Stat Pack Premier League. Match facts and total cards. Arsenal. Arsenal unbeaten in their last 11 Premier League home games against Newcastle. Their last such defeat against the Magpies was in November 2010. Yellow cards 38, red cards 2. Newcastle United, having won 1-0 in the reverse fixture, Newcastle are looking to complete the Premier League double against Arsenal for just the second time, previously doing so in 1994/95. Yellow cards 58, red cards 0. Goals, Arsenal 58, Newcastle United 53. Expected goals, Arsenal 51.1, Newcastle United 48.8. Goals conceded, Arsenal 22, Newcastle United 41. Expected goals against, Arsenal 18.4, Newcastle United 44.4. Clean sheets, Arsenal 10, Newcastle United 7. Shots, Arsenal 421, Newcastle United 350. Average possession, Arsenal 61%, Newcastle United 53.3%. Shot conversion rate, Arsenal 13.8%, Newcastle United 15.1%. Points gained after trailing, Arsenal 8, Newcastle United 3. Points dropped after leading, Arsenal 9, Newcastle United 15. Goal times, Arsenal 0-15 minutes, scored 7, conceded 4. 16-30 minutes, scored 6, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 10, conceded 2. 46-60 minutes, scored 10, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 10, conceded 1. 76-90 minutes, scored 15, conceded 4. Newcastle United. 0-15 minutes, scored 6, conceded 2. 16-30 minutes, scored 6, conceded 7. 31-45 minutes, scored 10, conceded 6. 46-60 minutes, scored 9, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 12, conceded 9. 76-90 minutes, scored 10, conceded 10. Data excludes matches played after 19th of February. Powered by EA Sports, Premier League, Opta, official data. Scouting report. Text, Adrian Clark. Tactics. Since taking charge at St James's Park, Eddie Howe has rarely deviated from a 4-3-3 formation, so it is unlikely he will spring a surprise with the Magpies' starting shape tonight. On their last visit to Emirates Stadium, Newcastle United were very defensive in their setup, putting 11 men behind the ball with an average of just 33% possession. In that framework, they like to pack central areas and will be very aggressive in their off-the-ball work. Howe's go-to strategy in matches of this ilk is to be pragmatic, with an eye to hurting their opponents on the counter-attack. Style of play. Newcastle's approach is likely to be built around using the pace of Anthony Gordon and his fellow front men from breakaways and turnovers. From a compact base, they will spring into life and attack down the flanks with speed. The likes of Miguel Almirón, Jacob Murphy, Harvey Barnes and Gordon are all strong ball carriers who are well suited to this style of play. Strengths. Results have fluctuated this season, but Newcastle United do create goal-scoring opportunities on a consistent basis. Until this point, they have created the second highest number of big chances in the Premier League so far this season, according to Opta. Howe and his assistant, Jason Tindall, also work studiously on dead ball situations, and it has paid off for them in 2023/24. The Magpies have racked up 11 set-piece goals so far, which is a tally only Everton and ourselves can top. Tall defenders Fabian Schär, Dan Byrne and Sven Botman all present a threat, having scored at least 2 Premier League goals apiece already this term. Kieran Trippier's wicked deliveries from the flanks, both in open play and from set pieces, are also a real strength for Howe's side. The England international would love to add to his tally of 10 assists in tonight's fixture. Weaknesses. One of Newcastle's strong suits en route to claiming a top four finish last season was their defensive assurance, but they have been a lot more open this term. Only 5 Premier League teams have faced more shots than the North East Giants, who have already leaked 41 goals, which is 8 more than they did in the entirety of the previous campaign. Worryingly for them, across their last 8 Premier League games, 20 have been conceded. 5 counter-attack strikes have found the back of their net, and given how they have struggled to stem the tide of chances created against them, I would anticipate a cautious strategy from them tonight. Key man. Scoring 8 goals and supplying 5 assists, Anthony Gordon is enjoying the best season of his career so far. Howe has used him as a central striker in the absence of Callum William and Alexander Isak, and he's provided genuine menace with his pace down the middle. If Sweden international Isak is fit enough to return, Gordon will likely move wide to have a match-up with Ben White down the visitors' left. Quick, direct and full of positive intent, the 22-year-old is a handful for anyone to contain. Having scored against Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, Manchester United and the Gunners this season, Gordon is also rightly regarded as a big match player. Wherever he plays in the Newcastle front line, he's likely to be their best outlet on the break.
Match action. Arsenal versus Liverpool. Arsenal 3, Liverpool 1. Arsenal scorers. Saka, 14th minute. Martinelli, 67th minute. Trossard, 92nd minute. Liverpool scorer. Gabriel, 45+3 minutes. Own goal. Sunday, February 4th, 2024. Emirates Stadium. Key moments. 11th minute. Saka can't connect with Martinelli's cross after a counter-attack. 14th minute. Saka tucks home the rebound after Havertz's shot is saved. 45th minute. Gabriel puts into his own net after Diaz pressures Saliba. 67th minute. Martinelli pounces on a defensive mix-up to put us back ahead. 88th minute. Konate is dismissed for a second bookable offence. 90th minute. Trossard squeezes home our third from a narrow angle. Match facts. Gabriel Martinelli has scored 5 goals against Liverpool, his joint most against an opponent, level with Crystal Palace. We've opened the scoring in 4 straight league games against Liverpool for the first time since between August 1967 and November 1970. This was the 200th league meeting between the sides. We've won 67, lost 79, and there have been 54 draws. Quotes. Jorginho. It was a special day, I think. The Emirates, the supporters, they were behind us and we could feel it, and it was just an amazing, amazing football match and an amazing day for us. It was really hard work. If we didn't do that, we couldn't win for sure. We knew we had to push the limit to beat them because they're a great team, and that's what we did. I think we deserved the win. Match stats. Expected goals. Arsenal, 3.5. Liverpool, 0.37. Shots. Arsenal, 15. Liverpool, 10. Shots on target. Arsenal, 7. Liverpool, 1. Hit woodwork. Arsenal, 0. Liverpool, 0. Possession. Arsenal, 43%. Liverpool, 57%. Completed passes. Arsenal, 304. Liverpool, 441. Corners. Arsenal, 2. Liverpool, 4. Tackles, 1. Arsenal, 11. Liverpool, 6. Offsides. Arsenal, 3. Liverpool, 1. Yellow cards. Arsenal, 6. Liverpool, 2. Red cards. Arsenal, 0. Liverpool, 1.
Match action. Premier League, Sunday, February 11th, 2024, 2 p.m, London Stadium. West Ham United 0, Arsenal 6. Key moments. 32 minutes, Saliba heads home Rice's corner. 41, Saka is fouled in the box by Areola and scores the penalty. 44, Gabriel heads in Rice's free kick. 45, Trossard lashes home our fourth from the edge of the area. 63, Saka scores from Odegaard's pass. 65, Rice rounds off the scoring with a long-range drive. Match facts. This is our biggest ever away win in Premier League history. Bukayo Saka's first goal was his 50th for the first team. This was the first time Declan Rice had ever contributed two assists in the same Premier League game. Quotes. Martin Odegaard. It was a really good game, strong performance. I think coming from a big game, a big win, and to come here and back it up with this performance is a brilliant sign. And I think during the game as well, we just wanted it more and more. I really like the performance and the mentality from the team.
Match action. Premier League, Saturday, February 17th, 2024, 3 p.m. Turf Moor. Burnley 0. Arsenal 5. Odegaard 4. Saka 41. Penalty 47. Assist Odegaard. Trossard 66. Havertz 78. Assist Kiwior. Match stats. Expected goals. BFC 0.31. AFC 2.36. Shots BFC 8, AFC 16. Shots on target BFC 0, AFC 7. Hit woodwork BFC 0, AFC 0. Possession BFC 35%, AFC 65%. Completed passes BFC 232, AFC 522. Corners, BFC 4, AFC 6. Tackles 1, BFC 8, AFC 11. Offsides, BFC 5, AFC 1. Yellow cards, BFC 2, AFC 1. Red cards, BFC 0, AFC 0. Key moments, 4th minute, Odegaard smashes home left-footed from outside the area. 41st minute, Trossard is fouled in the area and Saka scores the penalty. 47th minute, Saka fires into the roof of the net right-footed. 66th minute, Trossard makes it 4 with a clinical finish. 78th minute, Havertz scores a solo effort to round off the scoring. Match facts. For the first time in our history, we have started a calendar year with 5 consecutive league wins. This is the first time we have scored at least 5 goals in consecutive away league games. Bukayo Saka has scored in 4 consecutive appearances for the first time in his senior career. Quotes: Bukayo Saka: "It was a lot of fun out there. I really enjoyed it, and it's nice to see the fans coming up with new chants and stuff. I just loved it. I'm enjoying my football, but obviously I need to keep focused. But yeah, of course, I'm happy to score 2. 2 weeks in a row, and hopefully the third one will come soon."
Teams. For Arsenal: manager, Mikel Arteta. Shirt, red with white sleeves. Shorts, white. Socks, white. 1. Aaron Ramsdale, goalkeeper. 2. William Saliba. 4. Ben White. 5. Thomas Partey. 6. Gabriel Magalhaes. 7. Bukayo Saka. 8. Martin Odegaard. 9. Gabriel Jesus. 10. Emile Smith-Rowe. 11. Gabriel Martinelli. 12. Jurrien Timber. 14. Eddie Nketiah. 15. Jacob Kiwior. 17. Cedric Soares. 18. Takehiro Tomiyasu. 19. Leandro Trossard. 20. Jorginho. 21. Fabio Vieira. 22. David Raya, goalkeeper. 24. Reece Nelson. 25. Mohamed Elneny. 29. Kai Havertz. 31. Carl Hein, goalkeeper. 35. Oleksandr Zinchenko. 41. Declan Rice. 63. Ethan Nwaneri. For Newcastle United: head coach, Eddie Howe. Shirt, black and white stripes. Shorts, black. Socks, black. 1. Martin Dubravka, goalkeeper. 2. Kieran Trippier. 3. Paul Dummett. 4. Sven Botman. 5. Fabian Schär. 6. Jamal Lascelles. 7. Joe Linton. 8. Sandro Tonali. 9. Callum Wilson. 10. Anthony Gordon. 11. Matt Ritchie. 13. Matt Target. 14. Alexander Isaac. 15. Harvey Barnes. 17. Emil Kraff. 18. Loris Karius, goalkeeper. 20. Lewis Hall. 21. Tino Livramento. 22. Nick Pope, goalkeeper. 23. Jacob Murphy. 24. Miguel Almiron. 28. Joe Willock. 29. Mark Gillespie, goalkeeper. 32. Elliot Anderson. 33. Dan Byrne. 36. Sean Longstaff. 39. Bruno Guimaraes. 40. Joe White. 49. Amadou Diallo. 54. Alex Murphy. 63. Ben Parkinson. 67. Lewis Miley. Referee: Paul Tierney. Assistant referees: Neil Davies, Nick Hopton. Fourth official: Anthony Taylor. VAR official: Peter Banks. Additional VAR official: Lee Betts. Today's other fixtures: 3 p.m. kickoff unless stated. Aston Villa versus Nottingham Forest. Brighton and Hove Albion versus Everton. Crystal Palace versus Burnley. Manchester United versus Fulham. Bournemouth versus Manchester City, 5:30 p.m. No room for racism. The Arsenal Foundation, helping young people fulfil their potential through education and sport.
Emirates, Arsenal official partner. Travel with peace of mind. Fly better.
Why ask the barrister if you can be the barrister? Lavazza coffee machine from £1. Discover more at lavazza.co.uk.
Premier League. 30 years of stories. 30 years of lungs busting, nets bulging, audacious goals, outrageous flicks, academy breakthroughs, legends return. 30 years of gasps, groans, chants, full-time cheers, full-time tears, saying, we were there. But that's not all. The game is just the start. 30 years of supporting communities. 30 years of investing in the wider game. 30 years of thrilling football, made possible by 30 years of your support. Premier League.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.